At Integrity Church, we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and we believe that Jesus has entrusted the church with bringing the gospel to the world around us. It's toward that end that we want to share with you the vision of Integrity Church. To help communicate our vision, I want us to use a framed picture as a model. The first side of our frame is our mission, and our mission is simply to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Across from our mission is our next part of our frame, our values. These are the things we hold dear. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth, and so using the word salted, we're going to communicate our values as seeing people connect with God, the authority of God's word, legacy cubed, which communicates our desire to see disciples making disciples making disciples, as well as our commitment to intergenerational ministry. Our T stands for team ministry. Next, the E stands for every member is a missionary. Lastly, the D stands for dynamic worship experiences. The base of our frame represents our strategy. Our desire is to bring people through the funnel, which brings them to deeper levels of discipleship and then sends them on mission. At the top of our frame are our metrics. These are the things that we anticipate seeing in our backyard as a result of us being in town. They are to revive Christianity, reestablish the core of the home, and reinvest in our community. This is the framework of our vision. It's what holds our vision in place. And unlike a picture that is flexible, a frame doesn't change. Every picture contains three horizons of vision. The foreground is our near future, a short-term goal of about 90 days. Then there's the midground, also a short-term goal. It's what we anticipate seeing a year from now. Our next horizon is the background. It is a longer-term goal, and it's what we anticipate seeing 4 to 5 years into our future. Then there's the beyond the horizon. It's a longer-term goal, very exciting, but we're looking further down the road. We've given our vision the name Saturate 2028. By 2028, we will saturate our backyard by providing churches to shift culture into finding its place in God's story. Many of these words are pregnant with meaning. The year 2028 represents our 10-year goal of reaching beyond the horizon, and our backyard is represented by a 20-mile radius of our church. Our goal to get there is going to be represented in our acronym SEAL. The S represents our goal of reaching out and serving an 8-mile radius of our backyard. The E represents our need to equip missionaries to be sent out from the church. The A represents our need to acquire the necessary funding to fulfill this vision. And the L represents our need to launch another church. Our midground vision, our 1-year goal, is simply to grow, to both grow deep as well as wide. Using that acronym GROW, we present 4 90-day goals to you. The G stands for getting the word out. The R stands for realigning our ministries. The O represents our Outreach 300 campaign, where we will focus our energy in inviting and bringing 300 of our friends and family to church this year. The W stands for widening our reach to the 3-mile radius of our backyard. At Integrity Church, it's our desire to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus so that they might find their place in God's story. We invite you along for the ride. Good morning. Yeah, we're excited about what the Lord is doing here. And you know, I think if you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every single time, right? And so we rolled out this vision frame back in January, and now as we're entering into the second part of our year, we just thought it wise to kind of come back to it again and also kind of bring you up to date on what has been taking place as we've kind of moved forward in these last 6 months, employing many of these strategies to our service. I believe with all my heart that the church is the hope of the world. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives, and obviously it's the gospel that's going to change the world, but the gospel has been entrusted to the church of Jesus Christ, and the hope of the world is right here in this room. I hope you believe that, church. I hope you realize that God has entrusted you. God has called you. God has mandated you and I to bring the solution to the greatest problem in the world. And I'm excited to see what the Lord is doing. And so we've kind of laid out this vision plan and framework so that we can start to set some goals down the road and see how can we make a big impact in this area that God has assigned us here in this part of Suffolk County. How can we begin to really move forward and advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God? And so we presented this vision frame. Our mission is very simple. The mission of our church is to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but it's really difficult following somebody that has no passion about what they're doing. And I can't think of a greater thing for us to be passionate about than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who stepped into our world and changed us, the one who transformed us. How many are on the receiving end of Jesus working in your life? You see, so many times our passion gets spread out and diluted into so many different places that the one that suffers the most is the one that deserves the most of our heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we believe with all of our heart that if we can inspire people to passionately follow Jesus, then every other metric of discipleship will be met. People who put Jesus first, people who have as their first love Jesus Christ, they'll want to read their Bible. They'll want to pray. They'll want to fellowship. They'll want to make an impact for the kingdom of God. But they'll do it out of love and not just because they are being guilted into doing it. And so our desire here is to help inspire you to pursue Jesus Christ, the lover of your soul, with all of your heart. When we pursue that love for Jesus, then all of our got-tos turn into want-tos. And that's really, we believe with all our heart, and it's been so exciting to see so many of you over the months and years just developing a passion for Jesus. The church is secondary. The world is secondary. Everything else is secondary. Everything needs to flow out of a passion for Jesus. And it just does my heart so good to hear so many people just loving on Jesus. And so our mission here at Integrity is very simple: to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. On the other side of our frame are our values. These are the things that we hold dear. Jesus said that you and I are the salt of the earth. You know, salt that loses its flavor, Jesus said, is what? Useless. And can I tell you that there are Christians today that are useless? They have lost their saltiness. They have gone, they are not, they, there is no motivation to be effective for the kingdom of God. And what Jesus calls us to do is to bring some flavor to the world around us. Amen? And the flavor that we're bringing is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our personality. It's not our charisma. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. Salt preserves. That's why I said the hope of the world is the church. My desire, my greatest passion, I was just sharing with somebody before, my greatest passion is that you, Integrity Church, would realize that you're a part of something so much bigger than an organization. That we realize that you were saved from something and to something. That, listen, your job is important, but it's not supposed to be most important. Your hobbies are important, but they're not supposed to be most important. The most important thing you can do is what you do for the kingdom of God. Those are the things that we will give an account for. Those are the things that we are called as Christ followers to pursue, advancing the kingdom of God for the glory of God. We have been changed, amen? We went from death to life, from hopelessness to hopeful. Not because we joined a church, but because God got a hold of our lives. And we are called, we who have been recipients freely of this great gift, we are to freely give and share with the world around us. And so we are the salt of the earth. And so using that acronym, the word salted, we kind of communicate our values. And our first one, the S, it stands for seeing people connect with God. I mean, we value that. There's nothing like being in the front row seat to see somebody hit their life change when they come into contact with Jesus Christ. To see somebody walk in who is hopeless and addicted and broken and confused and depressed come into saving faith in Jesus Christ and find a hope and for their future and healing for their soul and their body, it is amazing. We've seen God turn people around as a result of them being connected with God. Marriages being restored, kids being restored back to their family, people coming off drugs, people coming out of pornography. We've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ impact lives. And so we value this idea of seeing people connect with God. That's why we exist. I mean, I wanna see that. I want to see that take place in the lives of people that you love, people you're praying for, people that you live with. We want to see people connect with God. A stands for the authority of God's word. There is no greater authority than the almighty word of God. It is the very thing that defines everything we do, everything we believe, everything we hope for, everywhere we go. It is God's word that is the final amen. It is not dependent on popular opinion. It is not dependent on being politically correct. It has nothing to do with what this world would accept as relatable. It is absolute truth. It is true for all people at all time forever. And we value the word of God. Nothing I think or believe or have an opinion on matters. It is the word of God that matters. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the psalmist said, and a light unto my path. It directs the way for us. And so we have as a primary value the word of Almighty God. It is the authority, the ultimate authority in this place. L stands for, we call it legacy cubed. What is that? We believe that every disciple of Jesus Christ ought to have somebody they're pouring into. We desire to see disciples that are making disciples that are making disciples. We want to see our recognition, our need, our awareness of what God has called us to tonight, not only go into all the world, but to do what? To make disciples. What that means is that you and I ought to have somebody we're pouring into. That might make you feel uncomfortable. But that's what we're called to do. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. We're going to talk about this subject of mandate, what God has called for each of us to do. But we desire to be a church that is a disciple-making church, disciples making disciples that make disciples. In addition to that, we are really committed to intergenerational ministry. We recognize that in order for a church to be healthy, there needs to be little children and as well as senior saints in its presence. We want to see our young people connecting with our not so young people. We want to be able to see our younger people glean from and grow from the many life experiences that many of you have already walked through. Too many times churches become very compartmentalized. You've got young churches and old churches and it's good on some levels, but in the end of the day, it can't really fully meet the need because what God has created ultimately is a family, and there needs to be some older senior saints coming alongside some of our younger saints to help show the way. We need one another. Some of the things that some of you older... I guess some of us older, I'm right there with you, right? Some of us older folks have gone through, man, we need to share it with our younger groups so that they don't have to go through some of the same mistakes. How many wish you had somebody tell you how to avoid a couple of those landmines of life? Well, man, the best thing we can do is pour it into somebody else. And so we're not trying to target a specific age group. We are looking to see a complete church that is made up of young and old and middle age and every race and every color. And we just want to see a healthy reality so that we can be the church that God wants us to be. And so we're committed to Legacy Cubed. Our T stands for team ministry. Listen, there are no rock stars in this church. There is one star, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If this ball is going to move down the field, it's not going to happen with just one person. It's going to take a whole group of people that are uniquely gifted, uniquely qualified, uniquely passionate about a diversity of things. And as we will work alongside one another, as we will bring our experiences to the table, as we will engage to the degree that we can, and we come together as a team, man, we can see the ball get down the field a whole lot quicker. My desire is so that we would understand that there's not a person in this room that is expendable. That no matter who you are and where you've been, you bring something that's going to help advance the kingdom of God. God's called you and I. There's no one person that's any more important than anybody else in this church. And to the degree that we believe that, and to the degree that we move out on that, is the degree that we'll begin to make impact in this culture around us. Team ministry. The E stands for every member is a missionary. We need to see ourselves as missionaries, folks. Let me tell you something. You don't need to jump on an airplane or go onto a ship to go onto the mission field. The second you walk out of your bed, step off your bed and put your foot on the floor, you are on the mission field. We need to change the way we think. We need to recognize that we are not of this world. The scripture says we are pilgrims passing through. We're sojourners, right? We have a heavenly country. We have something waiting for us on somewhere else. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so God has left us here. Why? To go and bring the good news of Jesus Christ. We are missionaries, and we need to change the way we think and to change the way we start our day sometimes. Sometimes we roll out of bed, it's like, oh, here we go. It's another day, gotta go to work, gotta do my thing. I got this ahead of me. I can't wait till this day's over. Oh man, I can't wait till Friday happens. And Monday through Friday, it's just routine. Listen, you were not created for routine. You were not created for ordinary. There's nothing more boring than ordinary. When an ordinary person comes to gets connected with an extraordinary God, something happens. And so you and I were created to live lives of extraordinary. And that's what missionaries do. Listen, what we need to do is we need to wake up in the morning and realize, time to go to work today. It's time to hit the mission field. It's going to take place wherever I got to work, but there's going to be something. There's going to be somebody. There's going to be some place where I'm going to be able to plant some seed today. And I'm going to be able to water some seed that maybe perhaps was planted somewhere else. You see, missionaries, you know what they do? They look for opportunities to minister. But you see, if we don't go into our day with that understanding that we are in fact missionaries, then the whole week goes by and nothing. Listen, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Did you talk to anybody about Jesus this week? Were you a missionary in your job this week? Were you a missionary in your community this week? Did you do anything this week that kind of reflects the fact that you are a child of God with the answer to the biggest problem the world faces? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but if you are, then we need to get in line with who we are as God's people. We're missionaries. Spurgeon said it this way: every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And everybody said, ouch. Every Christian. You say, well, you know, I just don't have the gift for evangelism. I just pray and I do my Bible studies. And you become saltless. If you are not, listen, if you're feeling unfulfilled in your Christian journey and you're feeling like you're not scratching that which God has called you, maybe you need to take a look and see, am I investing in others to the same degree that I am receiving? Am I sharing Jesus as much as I'm reading my Bible and studying my Bible so I can get some more knowledge? Can I tell you, some Christians know just too much. And the reality is it takes them away from doing the ultimate thing that we're called to do, is to reach people. I'm all for education. I'm all for knowing as much as we can. But if we don't put into practice that which we know, what good is it? Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And what we want, where we're looking to go, that's what integrity is looking to. We're looking to be a whole group of missionaries that are just looking for a place to seed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. D stands for a dynamic worship experience. I believe with all my heart that when God's people come together and we gather together in the house of God and we begin to worship God with all of our hearts, something happens. Something takes place. Man, we join in with the angelic choir that's already at the throne as they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Sometimes we go to church like we're going to a movie. And we need to realize, man, something's happening. When the people of God come together and God's presence comes into the room, man, there's a connection that takes place. We are brought into another whole realm, folks. So when people walk in, they walk in, something's different about that. What? It's the presence of Almighty God. And we want people to be able to connect with God through our preaching, through our worship, through our engaging in communication and fellowship with one another. This is not to be an ordinary place. This ought to be a place where people walk in and there's a welcoming love that it just makes them realize something about this room. Any of you experienced it? Dynamic worship experience, we value it. Listen, we can't make it happen. Only God can do that. So how do we make that happen? We get out of the way, we hide behind the cross. And we let Jesus do what Jesus can do. We let the Holy Spirit reign in this place and do what he wants to do. And we just kind of stay out of the way. And God begins to make impact. And it's amazing. People walk out going, "Wow, that was just what I needed to hear today. Wow, that encouragement that person gave me was just what I needed. How did you know?" I didn't. I'm not that smart. I'm really not. God has something to say. Dynamic worship experience. We love our online family. They're able to tune in. You know, week after week, sometimes people work and they're not able to do it. But there's just something you're missing by not being in the house of God. Dynamic worship. Come listen, church. Come with expectation. Come with us. Why we don't want bagels and coffee in here. And just like, man, you don't come in the presence of God like that. Let's just realize we're coming in to the presence of a holy God who has been waiting for this moment that he could have our undivided attention. Dynamic worship experience. Those are our values. At the base of our frame is our strategy. How do we look to get people from the outside in through the church where they come to Christ and be discipled and sent out as missionaries? And you see, we use this funnel right at the top of the funnel. It's our widest gathering. It's our Sunday morning experience. It's here that people come in and they begin to sense the presence of God and hear the word of God and hopefully come into connect with God here and they find faith in Jesus Christ. And then as we get a little further into the funnel, we try to get into our mosaic ministry and our pillars ministry and our teen ministry and our young adult ministry. And we're just kind of making those groups a little smaller. And then we get into our cohesion groups, which is really great because they take place in our homes. As you get into the homes of people, you get into their hearts a little bit more, right? And we look to see it then move into more one-on-one discipleship and mentoring. And as those groups are becoming smaller and smaller, they're becoming more and more intimate. The conversation's getting deeper and deeper, and that disciple that just happened to walk in on a Sunday because he had nothing to do finds himself or herself transitioning into this Jesus follower, and then they go out through the funnel out into the world, and they gather their friends, be like, "Man, let me tell you what I saw at this church. Let me tell you what I heard, how Jesus changed my life. Let me bring you into the top of the funnel." We send them out as missionaries and they bring them back in and we bring them through the process. It's our strategy. It's a simple strategy, but it's strategic. On the top of our frame, we have our metrics. How do we keep score? I don't know about you, it drives me crazy today. Like some of the sports, they don't like to keep score and nobody wins, nobody loses. It just like drives me nuts. I want to keep score. I want to know if I'm winning. I want to know if the thing that I committed to, like I want to know if I'm hitting the target. I want to know, because if I'm not, I need to change some things, right? I'm not going to feel bad about myself. I'm going to realize I need to change my strategy. I need to change my game plan. And so metrics are really important if you want to see any kind of success in what you're doing, right? We want to put some metrics in place. And so as we think about our metrics, we look and think, what do we want to look at 10 years from now? And as we look back over the last 10 years, what are some things we want to see has taken place at Integrity Church that would show that we showed up, that shows that the church was in the community, that the church kind of moved the ball down the field. How are we going to measure whether we are hitting the target? And so we use three R's to communicate that. And the first one is a revival of Christianity. That's what we want to see. We want to see more people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see more people bowing the knee and realizing that hope and is only found in Jesus Christ. We want to see a revival of Christianity. We want to see more people be baptized. It's a great, what an exciting thing that is. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never been baptized, you don't have to pray about it. Here's what we'll do right now. Ready? Lord, do you want us to be baptized? Yes, that's the answer, because the scripture says you want to repent and be baptized. You don't need to pray about something you're called to do. You just need to do it. If you've never been baptized, see me next week. Let's get you ready. You don't have to. If you're ready to receive Jesus and you're ready to partake of communion, then you're ready to be baptized. We want to see a revival of Christianity. A hunger for God's word, a hunger for prayer, a hunger for unity amongst churches, and a shared sense of mission as a result of moving ahead in Jesus. Secondly, we want to see a reestablishing of the core of the home. That's how we'll know we were there. We want to see our husbands really learn how to love their wives as Christ loved the church. We want to see our women come alongside and support and encourage and bless their husbands and be the women that God called them to be. We want to see our young people coming back to the homes and those relationships being strong and healthy. We want to see the divorce rate going down in our community, don't you? I'm not satisfied with 50%. Of divorces, of marriages ending in divorce. I think the church has got something to say about that. I think the church has the answer to the solution. What we need to do is start getting into the communities and start providing marriage teaching and mentoring and helping bring the truth of God's word, the authority of God's word into broken homes. And you know what happens? People connect with God and lives are changed. We want to see a reestablishing of the core of the home. Thirdly, we want to see a reinvestment in the community. Listen, a church that's not investing in its community isn't a church, it's a monastery. We are too. Listen, Jesus didn't say stay in the world. He said go into the world. We are a go kind of a organization, right? We are a go kind of people. We are not to hold that light within. We are to go into dark places so that we can bring the truth of Jesus to the world around us. And we need to start meeting the very practical needs in our community, the hunger needs and the clothing needs and the poverty needs and the needs for blood and the needs for whatever they may be. The church needs to meet those needs. We'll never meet their spiritual needs unless we first are willing to go and meet their practical needs. And so we, as a church, we want to be able to look back and see as a result of us of this team coming in, this family of God being committed to the gospel, we start seeing a revival of Christianity, a reestablishing of the core of the home, and a reinvestment in the community. That's our frame. That's the part that kind of holds our vision in place. And so what's our vision? Our vision is this, and it's huge, that in 10 years, by 2028, we're going to saturate our backyard by providing churches to shift culture and defining its place in God's story. 10 years from now, we're gonna saturate our backyard. What's our backyard? A 20-mile radius of Yaphank right here. That within 20 miles of where you're sitting right now, we wanna saturate this area with churches to do what? Just exist? Heck no, those are boring. Nobody wants to just go to a church just to exist. We wanna be a part of a church that is shifting culture, that is employing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is reaping the fruit of the gospel in people's lives. And so by 2028, my desire is to see this church be a part of planting churches all over this 20-mile radius so we can saturate the area. Because here's the thing, on a beautiful day, when you've got to mow your lawn, you've got to rake up, and you've got to clean out your garage, it's a really long drive from Blue Point to Yaphank. And so we need to go drop a church somewhere in Blue Point. We need to drop a church, make it a little bit easier. Let's start, and see, here's the other part. When we start doing that, what do we need to do? We need to start raising up people, raising up leaders, pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, worship team. That's why we want to start seeing. Because you know what? It's not going to be a big church of 10,000 that's going to make the impact. I just think that if we had a whole bunch of churches about this size that we can just start strategically planting in this 20-mile radius, I think what might happen is culture shift. Do you think the gospel can do that? I mean, do you really believe in your heart that God can change this culture? Don't you want to be a part of something that makes a huge impact in the lives of people? I don't care who gets the credit. I want it all to go to God. I want to see what God can do. None of us got, I don't know, but I didn't give up my life just to have a boring, ho-hum experience in God. I want everything God has for me. I want to use everything that God has put at my disposal for the kingdom and glory of God. So for these next 10 years, mark my words, you're going to start seeing it happen. Church is going to start planting all over the place, and culture is going to start shifting. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. How in the world are we going to do that in 10 years? We start breaking it down a little bit. Our next goal is our 4 to 5 year goal. We use the acronym of SEAL. How are we going to reach a 20-mile radius? Number one, we need to serve an 8-mile radius. We need to start, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to attack this 20-mile radius with a goal of hitting first an 8-mile radius and start saturating ourselves into a specific community and engaging in a community and serving a community and being able to make our presence known in a community. And then as we're doing that, the next thing, the E, is that we're going to equip missionaries. We need to recognize that now in order for us to be able to serve, we need to realize that we've got missionaries, and listen, there's a whole bunch of them that I'm looking at this morning. We need to equip missionaries to go and be used by God in that area for Jesus Christ, to raise up pastors and elders and deacons and Sunday school and greeters and everything else that makes it necessary for a church to be healthy and sustainable. And then our A stands for the need to acquire funding, because nobody's going to give us anything for nothing. Everything costs money, right? But at the end of the day, what God ordains, he pays for. And so I'm really not stressed out, because what we're talking about is going to cost millions of dollars over the next number of years. But you know what? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I'm not worried about it one bit. If we're serving a community, if we're raising up leaders, and then God will provide the resources. And as we have the resources, and we have the location, and we have the team, then we know it's time to launch a church. We find ourselves in an area and we realize, you know what? This area seems to be very open to the gospel. This area, there's just a draw to this place. And you know what? Maybe this is the place. Boom, and we just drop a church right there. How in the world are we going to get there in 4 to 5 years? We take a one-year goal. Our one-year goal is to grow. But not just grow in numbers. We need to grow both deep and wide. We need to grow in numbers, certainly, because it's going to take hundreds, thousands of people to accomplish the kind of culture shift that God has placed in my heart, that I believe with all my heart we're going to see happen. It's going to take thousands of people to do this. And so we need to grow in breadth, but we also need to grow in depth, right? We need to, listen, folks, we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to be in fellowship like we've never been in fellowship before. We need to be in unity like we've never been in unity before. We need to be in the Word of God like we've never been in the Word of God before. We need to grow in our depth in our walk with Jesus so that all the things that we're doing are flowing out of a healthy, passionate love for Jesus Christ. Because what we're looking to do isn't going to be done by just a person's good ideas. We need the touch of God on this. We need the presence and anointing of God on this. And it's going to take perspiration and inspiration. And so as we go forward with that, we're looking to grow deep and wide. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we break it down to now 90-day goals. And we use the acronym GROW again. And the G stands for, we need to get the word out. We need to be intentional about communicating where we believe God's doing it, what we believe God's calling us to do. It's not becoming. I mean, those of you who have been a part of us, you know this isn't the theme of our sermon every Sunday, but you know what we've been doing is we've been seeding everything we've been saying with some of the truths of what we know God's called us to do. And as we're preaching through books of the Bible, as we're bringing through topical studies, as we're addressing the men, the women, everything else, what we're doing is we're tying it all in with where we're going. We've never preached this much and been so intentional about communicating vision before like we are right now. We make no apologies for that. We're going somewhere. And if we want to be faithful to what God's called us to do, then we must be intentional about it. Because if you're not intentional about something, you'll never reach the goal. And so our G stands for getting the word out. Our R refers to the importance of realigning all of our ministries. We've taken a look at each of our ministries and to make sure that our ministries are moving in the direction that we believe God's calling us as a church. I made reference this morning to our Knit Together ministry. What a beautiful ministry that so ties in. I'm so thankful for Barbara's leadership and the team that's there. And I just have seen this desire to reach the community, to serve people and to love on people and to pour out on people. And it's so strategically entwined with the vision of who we are as a church. And so what we're looking at is ministries like that and saying, we want to continue with this ministry because it's feeding into the direction we're going. Realigning our ministries. Our O stands for Outreach 300. What is that? That's our desire to be able to create an awareness that, you know, we need to start bringing people to church. We need to invite our friends and our family. Let them hear the gospel. Let them sense the presence of God. Let them walk into this place and let the Holy Spirit do what they need to do. Let's start capturing who it is that's walking through the door. That's why we have the connect cards, because everybody matters. And you get to a certain size, and it's too easy for people to slip out the back door unnoticed. And so we want to start being strategically responsible for the people that God has entrusted into our care. And so we're doing things like that. One of the things we're going to start is June 24th. We've never done this before. Between services from 10:30, which is going to be a challenge. That means I have to be done preaching by 10:30. But from 10:30 to 11:15, we're going to do a four-week evangelism class called Just Walk Across the Room. And what we want to do is we want to tell people, yeah, you need to go, but we also want to equip people on how to evangelize, how to reach people. And so between services on Sundays, because I know some of you just can't come out during the week, so we're gonna provide that on a Sunday morning as a test to see if that's a good time or not, because you're already here, you can come in, you grab a bagel, coffee, and go through that class, and then to either the first or second service, it's perfect. But for those that doesn't work for, we'll also be having it on Friday nights. You'll hear more about that, but the idea is this. We wanna just not only tell you you have a responsibility to bring the gospel to people, we also wanna equip everybody to do that. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. And so it's just this idea of wanting to own as a family what God's calling us to do. I want to see people connecting with God. And then we have the R. And as Pastor Frank comes, I ask him, or the W, I keep saying R. The W, as Pastor Frank comes, I asked him to share this morning. I'm so excited about the widening of our reach, 3 miles. Pastor Frank his leadership has just been so critical and so helpful to our moving forward these last number of months as we've been really wanting to focus on being a serving church. And you know, this morning was to do two things. It was to inform you, but also to give you a report card on where we've been since we last talked about this in January. And so Pastor Frank,
didn't know Pastor Tony could write that fast. One of the parts of the values is that everyone is a missionary. And I guess it was last summer, we kind of sat down as we were working through this and decided that we really wanted to be intentional in our outreach. How can we get outside the doors and get the message outside and reach other people? So I made a list of some of the things that we've actually done since last October, and I was pretty amazed as I kind of listed it down. And I just want to say that as we presented the opportunity, you rose to the occasion. And I saw so many different people get involved in different things in the church and opportunities, and they found something that they felt comfortable doing. And I believe there's something that everyone can do. Maybe it's, you know, you can't go to the, you're not comfortable going to the veterans home, but you can get involved in something else. So I'm just going to kind of go through this list, and it's pretty amazing. And again, I thank God that We got a church that cares and is reaching out. So on October 28th, we had a barbecue down at the Veterans Home in Yapank. It went amazing. I mean, it was interesting when we got there, we first set up. It was kind of, the guys weren't really coming around or whatever. And then all of a sudden, they started coming around. They realized we had no agenda. We just wanted to be there with them and serve them food. And if they wanted to talk and pray, that we were there. Then in November, we did a food collection with Lighthouse Mission for Thanksgiving. And also a winter warm-up coat drive that we did. That was a tremendous response there. I mean, we had so many coats left over that we actually donated them also when we were done to the Lighthouse Mission. December 2nd, we did a coat giveaway. We joined together with Genesis Church as they do their Saturday outreach. We went out and set up a table at the different stops that they had and gave out coats and hats and gloves. It was an amazing day. December 17th, we went down to Corum, the Home Depot parking lot, and again gave food out. We made warm food and gave coats and blankets and gloves and hats out. December 20th, we did Christmas caroling at the Veterans Home, and then we went to various other locations, people that maybe couldn't get out or whatever. And that was, that was great. It was very personal and really touched people's lives. December 22nd, we extended that, our Christmas caroling parade over at the Rosemont in Brookhaven. That was a great night. If you missed that, we're going to do that again. That was really a lot of fun. To see people come out of their homes with children or whatever, with again no agenda, just telling them we're here, we care, we're reaching out. Then on February 8th, we did a blood drive with the American Red Cross, and you may ask, well, you know, how's that reaching out to the community? Well, a couple of things happened. We had as many people that we knew as we didn't know come in. So that kind of lets people know we're here. And it's a real practical kind of, you know, we care about what's going on in our community. And so you can donate your blood and do that. We had some great conversations with people. On February 14th, some of the ladies put a Valentine's dinner together for the guys down at the Vet Center. And that was kind of an interesting night because the plan was make the dinner, drop it off, just let them eat and just be on your way. But some of the ladies decided to stay, and they had a great time with the guys. Just they came around. They wanted to sit down. They wanted to talk to people. They wanted to get to know each other. And so that was a great opportunity there. I don't want to miss. I missed. 18th, Mastic Beach. We again went down with food and coats and blankets and gave away. Then on March 31st, we did the big Easter egg extravaganza. Hunt over at Rosemont, that day went amazing. I mean, it's just to see the parents and kids come out and something that was done in the community, that we gave bikes away that day, and it was really a fun time, but it also just, I had personal engagement with some of the people, and they were like, why are you guys here? We're just here because we care about the community. So then on April 2nd was they did a Easter Monday dinner. We wanted to do Easter Sunday, but they were covered, so we said, oh, we'll do Monday. Went back to the Vets Home and did that. May 12th was a powerful day, Domestic Violence Awareness Day. And, you know, it's interesting that I spoke with someone 2 days ago about they were here, and I said, well, give me some observation. You know, they weren't from the church. They're actually from another church. What did you think about the day? They said it was amazing. They said the only thing that I was disappointed about was there should have been more people here. And I really believe that that's something that's going to grow and develop, and it's an area that we really need to reach out in. The women that day, they got encouragement, they got good information. They left here blessed. They had free lunch from Chick-fil-A. We appreciate that, and just a great day. Then on the 19th, we got rained out on a great Brookhaven cleanup day. We were going to do that, but that was pouring rain. July, and then coming up July 28th through the 4th is a missions trip down to Tennessee. If you just are interested or inquiring about what's missions all about or what are they doing on this trip, stay afterward for that brief meeting, and you can get all the information and then maybe make a decision from there. Maybe God wants you to go. Maybe he's saying stay and find out about it. And then I listed some future dates. October 13th, we're going to do domestic violence awareness day again in October, because that's actually the the month that they that they focus on that. And then October 20th is a Thursday. That's the blood drive we're going to do again. So thank you as a church, and thank God for the opportunity. We can really reach out. It's interesting because Jesus calls us to him, and he calls us to go for him. And so that's what we do as a church. Thank you.
Yeah, we were just so blown away by how many of you were involved in, and you know, no one person was involved in all of those things. No one person should be involved in all of those things. That's crazy. But you know, every person should be involved in some of those things, because we're part of a team, we're part of a family, and you see, there's a place for everybody to be a part of being missional, going and reaching out and reaching our community for Jesus. Nobody's exempt from that. That's what we're called to do. That's part of the DNA that we've received as new believers. We're called to go. And so if you're here this morning and in each of those lists, if you look and think, I had nothing to do with any of those things, well, look at the opportunity you have to grow in these next number of months, right? Because here's the reality. I understand busy. I really understand busy. But you know what? If we're too busy to be used by God on the mission field, then we're too busy and we're not doing what God's called us to do. And so we need to look at our schedules and realize, God, what prioritization changes do I need to make so that I could be a part of what you're doing? What God has called us to is incredible. It's not by might or by power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of Almighty God working through a bunch of ordinary people who are holding tightly to an extraordinary God as we get out of the way and hide behind the cross. That's what we're looking to do to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this great mission that you've allowed us to be a part of. First, we're so thankful to have been on the receiving end of someone else's missionary journey in bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to fan that flame in the hearts of each and every one of us. And thank you, God, that we're not the only church doing this. Thank you, Father, that there are such great churches all around us that are faithfully reaching and impacting lives. I thank you for Genesis Church and True North and Smithtown Gospel and The Harbor and Axis Church and so many other churches that are so effectively doing it to the glory of God. Father, we thank you that we're a part of something so much bigger than any one church can ever do. And so we know that, God, your heart is on the mission field for lost people. Lord, as we love on you, as we passionately follow you, help us to be passionate about what you're passionate about. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've entrusted into our care. Lord, may we be found faithful as a people of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.